Our scripture lesson is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Corinthians is a great book if you want to look at people's problems, because they had every kind of problem you could dream of. I've heard someone say, "I want a New Testament church." And I think, which one? You know? They had people in Galatia who were thinking that they had to keep the law to stay saved. And they had people in Colossae who were worshiping angels. And they had people in Corinth that had just every problem. They're fighting among themselves. They've got factions. Who's got the best leader? They're fighting about sexual immorality. They're fighting about people cheating each other in business. And now we're dealing with a problem here where they're even fighting about their different spiritual gifts. We talked last week about, or one of the weeks, we talked about how the disciples, even on the night that Jesus was betrayed, were arguing about how great they were, arguing with each other, "I'm better than you are." And that attitude is here in Corinth because he has to teach the people. The Word of God teaches them not to be jealous over each other's spiritual gifts. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To the one is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God had placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If we were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts we think were less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, guidance, of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Or I think probably a better translation, though I don't like to say this very much. I think that it's an accurate translation to say, but you are desiring. In other words, you're envying each other's gifts, which appears to be the teaching of this chapter, that we're not supposed to envy each other in our gifts. Now, I wonder if our ushers could hand out these to any that didn't get. Can you help us with this? And Fred, can you help us? When I was first hired at this church, way in the back, you see there? Right by Nancy. Thank you. Thank you. When I was first hired at the church, I was asked to teach about spiritual gifts. And that's a long time ago now. Does anybody know how long? 6 years today. Wow. Yeah. This is. Thank you, Andy. I'll give you a dollar later. And so they asked me what was I going to teach about gifts, and this is the same course that I taught 6 years ago, and I don't do it just as review, but we've had so many new people come to the church in the last 6 years that I want to give a refresher course, and most of you have already done this little survey. And you may want to just redo it just to see if you've kept your gifts the same or God's added any gifts to you. But I'm going to explain to you how, or not going to make this out during the service today, but I'm going to just take a moment to explain to you. If you open it up to page 2, you'll see it says administration. And it's got 7 questions. Every gift has got 7, most of the gifts have got 7 questions. So it says, it makes a statement. I can coordinate people, tasks, and events to meet a need. If that's not true of you, if you can't coordinate your clothes like me, if you can't coordinate events, then you put a 0. No, that's not something I do. If you do it sometimes, you put a 1. If you do it, it's just something comes naturally to you. You just step up and do it. Then you put a 2. I'm careful, thorough, and skilled in managing details. If you don't, if that's not you, 0. If sometimes that's true, 1. And if that's always true of you, then 2. I clarify goals and develop strategies or plans to accomplish them. And same thing. For each one of these, down through the 135, that's why we're not going to do it during the service. For each one of these, it's either, no, that's not really me, or sometimes, or yeah, that's what I do. And then, see, if you did all 7 and you put a 2 for every one of those questions, 1 through 7, you'd have 14. And you'd go back to your front page, see the front page where it's got administration on there? And you'd write 14. If you put 1 down for everyone, then you'd have a 7. If you put 0 down for everyone, then you'd put a 0. And if you put a 0 down, if you got a 0 on administration, we're not going to put you in charge of anything. Okay? This is all of these gifts. Nobody's got all the spiritual gifts. That's the obvious teaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we want you to be able to understand what your spiritual gifts are. And what I've done with, first time I went through it, we had everybody in the church. I took a whole service and we went through, used the PowerPoint, and we went through every question altogether, so I had answers from everybody that was here at that time. The next time we went through, we just did a just handed them out, and I did a sermon like we're going to do today. And also, Steve Cole taught this as a Sunday school class at one point. So this is like the fourth time we're going through this, and we're doing this because we've got so many people. Now, in here is not only spiritual gifts, but it's also like life's experiences that you've had that you would like to communicate to the church. For instance, if you've had experience any time in your life repairing dams, we want to know. Okay? Now, there may not be nothing about you that would say, you know what, I know how to fix dams. Okay? So we need you to tell us. Okay? And there are all sorts of things in the last part of it is all sorts of things, life experiences that if you might like to communicate with us. And there's also a section in there not only about spiritual gifts, but also about are you a people person or task-oriented? Now, I'll give you an example. We had in a choir. I did this in a church, and we had a choir, and the choir director was task-oriented. She was there to get each thing done. She wanted to do this one, and then she wanted to do the next one, and she wanted to kind of, she had a checklist. She wanted to go down through. She's going to get the task done. And one of the tenors in the choir, he was a people-oriented person. He was in choir to party. And when they did this thing in Portsmouth, and they looked at each other and they said, well, that explains a lot. It does explain a lot, okay? Because you say, he's not trying to be mean. He's trying to have fun. Okay? And it helps you to be able to get along. And that really, obviously, is the intent of 1 Corinthians 12, is that we be able to work well with each other, even though we're so different from each other. It would be inappropriate if we were all the same. Now, I think I've used this example every time I've taught this, but some churches have, as a discipleship course, trying to make everybody be the same. Like, it winds up everyone being the pastor. I saw a cartoon from Leadership Magazine. Leadership Magazine was a great magazine if you liked the cartoons. I never read the articles, so. But I can tell you the cartoons were great. And it shows in one cartoon, it shows a conveyor belt, and all these people are standing on the conveyor belt like this, and the short people and tall people, thin people and fat people, men and women, and they're all going in, and there's this big box. It says discipleship. And the pastor's standing there with a big lever, and he's going, ka-chunk. And everybody that comes out the other side, they all look like the pastor. That's not the goal. Okay? The goal is to be who God made you to be and to rejoice in who God made you to be and to not worry if you're not like everybody else. To be who the Lord made you and to use your gifts to bless other people. Now, my spiritual gift is jump-starting cars. And probably you young people don't even know what that is. Have any of you young people even seen a standard car? Any? Yeah? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, there's that hand. Yeah. Well, my dad, I had four brothers, and he kept us in junker cars while we were teenagers. We always had a car to drive, not his. And so we had one Chevy Chevelle. I don't know if any of you know what that means. And it was a standard. And initially, it started for a while, and then it quit starting. And so Dad gave us a screwdriver and showed how you can lift the hood and you short-circuit the starter with a screwdriver. And it goes, starts the car. And then After a while, do you think that was a long-term solution?
No.
No. After a while, that wouldn't start the car. And that's where I learned how to jump start. My cousin gets in the front seat, and we tried to always park it on a grade. Yeah. My cousin's in the... And I get behind, and I push, and when it's moving just enough, he popped the clutch and boom, 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 boom. And we'd be off. Who knows where we'd go. Now, that's kind of what my spiritual gift is, where I see something. I say, you know what? We need a CR. So I get someone, and they help me a little bit. And together we're pushing and pushing, and then after a while, kaboom, kabang, and it's off and running. And I say, you know what we really could use? We could use a tech committee. So we pull together a few people, and it's like jump-starting a car. Okay? So that's one of my spiritual gifts. But I don't have the gift of discernment. And that's a limit. That's why I need people to help me to know this is, because I think all my ideas are good. You think all your ideas are good too. So you're no better than me, just like. But I understand that sometimes I have some stinkers. And so in the body of Christ, we have different spiritual gifts. And that way we can bless each other. And that's the goal from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. It says, "My brothers, you were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." And we're called by the Lord to be servants to each other. And if you haven't been around our church a long time, I have a hobby horse that I like to ride called Abraham was called to bless. God called Abram. He said, I'm gonna bless you. You go bless others. You be a blessing, and I'll bless you. I'm going to curse those who curse you. Not your job to curse people. It's my job. I'm going to bless you. And so, you know, church is not a spectator sport. It's not just watching Sharon and me do our thing on Sunday. It's about using your gifts. And one of the benefits that we've had from all this teaching and trying on spiritual gifts is that our people have pretty much got it. And this church is humming along now. It's like the car jump-started and I can't keep up. It's like it left me behind. Okay? It's because people are using their spiritual gifts. People are doing what they can and all sorts of things that they're good at. Now, the church that wrote this material, it was called The Network, Willow Creek, their plan was, you have everybody do the survey to find out what their spiritual gifts are. Then they come in and they talk to whoever's going to put all the material in a database. And then you're going to get all of this, everybody's spiritual gifts and everybody's inclinations and everybody's life experiences in a database. And then you'll have centralized planning. And that person will take this person from here and there and like that. That's beyond me. I need someone with the gift of administration to do that. The really important thing is for you to be self-motivated and decided you're going to bless people. Now, when my dad was dying, he thought he was dying when he was 62. He had 18 years to go. He just didn't feel good for a long time. And my mom took care of him. In the last year, he really didn't feel good. When he was 80, he was not well. He was in the process, really, truly. And my mom took care of him, and she was okay. She'd been taking care of him all along, and she was okay. And he wanted to go, and when he passed, my mom was fine. She knew why she was here, and she took care of him, and she loved him, and she loved him enough to let him go. And 2 months after he was gone, she went into a deep depression. Not because he died, but because she didn't have anyone to bless. She didn't have anything to do. And she was in deep depression until she got pneumonia about 6 months later. And when she got pneumonia, she went in the hospital. And while she was in the hospital, the nurses would come in. And my mother was kind of a social butterfly. She'd talk to the nurses. And she'd joke with the CNAs. And the doctors would come in. And she'd have something witty to say. And she came out of her funk while she was in the hospital for pneumonia. And when she got out of the hospital, she went to volunteer at Twice Nice, which some of you don't know anything about. It's a secondhand clothing store in Dowling Park. And she didn't go in there for money. She went in there to be a blessing. And she never looked back, because she was going to serve one another with love. Brothers and sisters, that's all our call. That's your call, to find your gift and use it. And you may have different passions, things you want to do. I love it where it says in Romans chapter 12, it says, let him who has the gift of generosity, gift of giving, give generously and happily. Let the one who has a gift of administration, let him rule. Let people do. And it reminds me of when we hired Ethan on. You know, when I was a pastor in Portsmouth, I had a youth group. It was built around, I love video games, still love video games. You can pray for me if you want to. I'm still going to love video games. And we did the network, and I thought, well, I wonder if I can make, it says you can use your passion, you can take anything that you're really passionate about, and you can serve the Lord with it. And I thought, well, I'll see if that's true with video games. So I got these video games, and I got kids together. Sure enough, you could build a youth group around video games. And I said to Ethan when he first came here, I said, you know, you can build a youth group around video games. He said, I know, I got another idea. I was like, that wasn't my idea. And I thought of Romans chapter 12, let others use their gifts. He told me I'm going to do a Bible study, and we'll start with a Bible study, and we'll keep having a Bible study. And I thought, what did I think to myself? That's not going to work. It's worked great! Just because I got out of the way. Now, I've got to give you, as a church, since this is my fourth time through this stuff, I've got to give you a warning about whenever I retire, or if the Lord strikes me dead.
Or if the Lord comes.
You don't have to worry about if the Lord comes, because if the Lord comes, he's got charge of things. We won't worry about anything. But I have, the best book I never read was called Unleashing the Church. And that idea being that God has gifted people, let them use their gifts. And I've used that ever since I've been in Attleboro. And in Attleboro, the same thing that happened here was happening at Attleboro. Everybody's doing all sorts of stuff, and the people come to me and they say, can I do this? I say, why are you asking me? God has gifted you. Use your gifts. God has given you a vision. Let me help you. Okay? Now, they hired a guy after me that wanted to control everything. That's my warning. Whoever you hire after me, warn them that Russell let things get right out of control. And he was happy that way. And if you have to control everything, it's hard for people to wear. I thank the Lord that the board of this church has encouraged new ministries to happen in this church. It allows people to use their gifts. I'm thankful that people can serve that aren't members of the church. I'm glad when people come and they say, I'd like to help with this. They're not a believer yet. And they want to help. I say, awesome!
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome! And they begin blessing. Because God, that's whatever you are, God has made you to bless. If you're going to make a difference in the world, you've got to understand you're not going to have my gifts. You're not going to have anybody else's gifts. You're just going to be your own self. And you need to be serving in a place that's appropriate. And I'll give you, this is a tired old illustration. I'm going to give it to you anyway. At that church that I pastored in Attleboro, there was a lady named Pat. And she said, I'll teach Sunday school. You know, every year you got to find Sunday school teachers. She said, I'll teach Sunday school. After about 5 weeks, she came in and she said to me, Russell, I found out something about myself. And I said, what's that, Pat? She said, I hate children. I said, Pat, I said, please don't teach Sunday school. She said, thank you. She didn't really hate children, but she was not serving in the area where she was gifted. You understand? So I get all sorts of bright ideas for everybody. Noel tells me, don't be the Holy Spirit for people. And I try not to be. But if I ask you to do something, don't say yes just because I asked you. Okay? You've got permission to say no. In fact, we had a friend in Rhode Island. Lovely, lovely Christian. I asked her one time, could you do this for me? She said, yeah. And then she didn't do it. And I said, what happened? She said, oh, I had something else booked for that day. She had already committed to somebody else. But she was so wanted to please, she couldn't say no. That was not a help. Okay? That was not, because when the day came, I needed the help. If she couldn't do it, I needed to find somebody else to help or understand this is not going to work. So please, if I ask you to do something, you can't do it, say no. You don't have to say go jump off a cliff, but I'll get the picture. Because I'll get the picture. Because I know I can't do everything everyone wants me to do, and neither can you. But God help us to do the things that He calls us to do, and bless each other and bring Him glory.